Hello everyone. Sorry for being late.
Hello.
Me share my screen. Just move things around so that I can control the screen a little bit better. Here's the agenda for today. Make it a little bit bigger. And I really hope we will be able to cover today's topics in 30 minutes so that we can get 30 minutes back. As always, please add your name to the list of attendees. And if we have someone who is volunteering to take notes, that would be great.
Hey Magda, I'm sorry, I forgot to ask in Slack. I was wondering if I could want to do an announcement and then ask a question of this group related to product council.
Sure, go ahead.
So one, the announcement is WolfCon is coming up, so if you want to teach a pre-conference workshop, please contact Thomas Trutt from Cornell on Slack. So those are in person. WolfCon 2026 is in Prague. So I know, I realize that not everyone might be able to go to Prague. Let me I'm gonna here's our homepage. Copy link. Sorry. Put that in chat. The call for proposals is not open yet. It will open next week on the 10th. But definitely, if you have pre-conference, either myself or Thomas Trett. The other, it's not really an announcement, it's a question. So the product council has put forward kind of this idea of a calming meeting week. And I don't know, it's kind of funny for this group because we haven't met in a while. But I'm wondering, should we adopt like do we I think currently we meet every other week, right, Magda?
Yes.
So I'm wondering, and maybe this is for you and Kathleen, would it make sense, does it make sense to keep that schedule or maybe go monthly, or what are your thoughts?
I think monthly meeting would give me enough time from this group to keep going. Kathleen, I'm not sure how you feel about monthly meeting.
Yeah, I agree that monthly would also work. And in the like off chance that we needed more time, we could always schedule a one-off meeting.
Excellent. Yay. So I don't know. I guess Magda and Kathleen, I guess you can pick the Tuesday you want.
I let the group decide, or we can maybe do some Slack quick survey to pick up the Tuesday that works for most people, and
Okay.
then starting in March.
Okay, great. So what I'll do is, since I brought it up, I can post on Slack with a
Awesome.
survey and see how people feel, and yeah, and that way we get, I know some people weren't able to attend today. So yeah, I'll put that forward and see what people like. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jennifer. Is there anything else someone would like to bring up before I start talking about bulk edit? Lynn, thank you very much for volunteering to take the notes. And I will jump to bulk edit issues or changes I would like to discuss and get your feedback about. First, both of the modifications that I would like to propose are coming from the feedback we have received in past user acceptance testing, and they've been on my plate for a while. But finally, we got together with Kimi, review the expectation, and Kimi came up with very good mockups that I would like you see today. But first, I would like to tell you what we are trying to fix. This is the existing behavior in bulk edit. I'm editing MARC records, and I want to remove the entire MARC. The entire field 500 that has two indicator first and second blank. There is an option remove all, and in order to proceed, you need to enter subfield, even though we are removing not the subfield but the entire field. If we don't provide the subfield, the confirm changes button is disabled because subfield is required. Also, during the UIT, I got the feedback. It's not intuitive. The users don't know what they are actually removing. Are they removing all subfields or are they removing the entire field? So this is what we proposed with Kimi to be done. First of all, when you open the page, the bulk edit form, this is the slightly redesigned form, the subfield is not required. Once you I need to move some elements off from the screen because So once you are on the bulk edit form, you select the ac actions and you have two additional. Instead of remove all, you have two actions: remove subfield and remove field. When you select remove field, the subfield is not required anymore. And then the confirm changes button enables, and you can proceed as normally. The other option, when you select remove subfield becomes required, and the confirm changes button remains disabled until you provide the subfield, like here. Any comments? Let me see.
I actually do like that. It really makes it much clearer. Because before, yeah, it just you didn't know which one. So I'm wondering if well, this is a tangential question, but so let's say you have a 500 that has I'm gonna make these up and it's probably not valid. But anyway, so you have a 500 and you have the subfields 7 and 8 that you want to remove. You have to do those line by line right now, right? Okay, thanks.
Are there any comments, additional comments or concerns to what we are proposing? If not, then I will move to the next element, which is modification to Are You Sure form. There were two issues. One, to make the Are You Sure form resizable and movable? And the other one was to preview MARC changes on Are You Sure form. So This is how it currently works. Let's say we added here subulate, confirm the changes. We are working on the performance, so please bear with me. Just so we have four records. What can happen here? It's a lot of scrolling because user has still scroll. We have five records here, but had we had more, that would require up and down scrolling. And also to preview changes in MARC format, user needs to download the file and opening it in with MARC edit to preview. So this is what Kimi has suggested. Hold on, let me go to the beginning. So we are on the form to make the changes, bug edit form, clicking confirm changes, and now opening Are You Sure form, which is expanded to the entire page. So the entire page is Are You Sure form. The buttons that are here, those options are replaced by actions menu. And if you are happy with what you see on this form, you can continue by clicking commit changes buttons enable. But if you want to preview what you have, preview your changes, then there is a new option in the action menu, preview of records to be changed in MARC format. So those two buttons that are currently in place are replaced with the options from actions menu, and we are adding the preview of records to be changed in MARC format. Once you select the preview format, the preview options, you see your changes in MARC format, similarly how you would see in view source in inventory. And obviously you can scroll down to see all the records. And commit changes button is present here so that you don't need to go back. You can continue from the screen, click commit changes, and that will send the bug edit, that will trigger the bug edit jobs. You can also click the format, and then we'll the you hold on. You can click the X sign, and that will take you to the Are You Sure form. And so let's click commit changes in this MARC preview. And that starts the regular job committing the changes. And then you end up on the page confirming that the bug edit job completed. That's it. Any comments on this? Concerns?
It looks good to me.
Thank you. Go ahead, Jennifer.
It looks really nice. I like the ability of looking at the mark and doing start commit changes from that window, which is really convenient. I guess I'm all about the tangents today. But anyway, my only tangent is that the mark change still relies on data import.
Yes.
Yeah, which I'm not sure if we figured out. Like this gets behind all of the other loads because it doesn't do the size.
Yes, we do
Yeah.
have the ticket in our backlog, and that is, I think it's still in the backlog. I don't think it was worked on because the initial implementation of the data import prioritizing mechanism did not take into account smaller job. It took only the single records imports. I know it is on the backlog, that eventually that will be revisited. My understanding is it requires some deeper architectural changes, so that's why it is not happening yet. So right now, the answer to your question, Jennifer, is yes, that the jobs are queued.
Yeah, thanks, Magda.
Any other comments or questions? Then I will move to the feedback review of the user acceptance testing that we conducted last year. And here is a high-level overview. There were 10 participants representing 8 institutions. And included system librarians, catalogers, product managers, and technical services. The experience of the participant, they were mostly advanced or expert Folio users with many years experience with Folio or other ILSs. The scope was querying repeatable fields. With predefined values, free text, or Boolean data type. Overall, the UIT indicates high confidence in the new querying behavior for repeatable fields, with most query operators behaving as expected across all mentioned data types. A general outcome is that the majority testers reported the behavior was matching their expectation for almost all supported operators. They determined that operators for repeatable fields were functionally sound. The behavior was generally considered as consistent and predictable, and no critical defects were identified. The users highlighted the usefulness of is null or empty operator and in and not in operators when working with statistical code languages or nodes. Also, the fact that those operators can be combined into multiple conditions in a single query. What worked well? So, as I mentioned, operators were determined that work as expected for all data types, especially equals, not equal to, in, not in, is null or empty for predefined values, equals, contains, starts with, is null or empty for free text fields, and for Boolean was equals and not equal to. The logical consistency was sometimes confusing, but the advanced users were found it logically correct and were able to combine their queries with additional conditions. What was mentioned as a usability improvement was that when the query is built, the values contains actually the record, the values that are present in the data set, in this case in the inventory, which narrows the numbers of option, and also they like how the data was presented in query results in the tables. The issues or gaps that were identified, none of them were a blocking issue, and most of them can be addressed by documentation, some UX improvements, or future enhancements. The first, and I think the largest, that was confusing for many users were null or empty behavior for repeatable Boolean operators. And Kathleen did an amazing job documenting the behavior. The link is here, and in the presentation, it takes you to the page that talks about returning null and empty values in list and FQM. This is the same this is the same what is being used in query tab in bug edit, and especially 9 and 10 talk about the behavior of null and empty for Boolean operators. The other issue that was mentioned, that there is to some degree lack of total standardization of the naming convention of searchable fields. I think we made changes on them, so they are now more consistent than they were during the UIT, but it's still possible that there may be some differences. And workflow, what was mentioned, that the fields that are queryable, they should be also bug editable. Unfortunately, this is not the case. It's easier to search than edit a field. However, in Umbrella Leaf, the plan is to expand the list of records type that are editable and bulk editable, and also expand the fields coverage for the data, for the records that are already in that are already present in bulk edit. And the last slide contains the links, a link to the form, link to the all responses, list of the Trillium tickets from all Trillium UITs, and link to the documentation that Kathleen has created. And that's it. That is everything what I had for today. Are there any questions or anything we would like to address, discuss? If not, then I think we set a record that we are done in 24 minutes. Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to the survey regarding frequency of our meetings. And talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye,
Bye,
everybody.
Bye. Thanks, Magda.